Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Wendell Miner is considered one of our nation's premier historical illustrators. He travels throughout the United States to research, draw, and paint on location and immerse himself in the subject at hand. The Norman Rockwell Museum is celebrating the artist's four-decade career, highlighting his many cover illustrations and 25th anniversary illustrating children's books, each inspired by his love of history, art, science, and the natural world. Wendell Miner's America is on view at the Norman Rockwell Museum through May 26, 2014. The exhibit traces Miner's artistic journey through the through original artwork, artifacts, and references from his visual chronicles, as well as commentary about his collaborations with our nation's most prominent authors, scientists, and historians. It is a thrill to welcome Wendell Miner to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Joe.
It is a delight to have you with us. Sorry that the weather got in the way. We would love to have you in the studio, but it's very nice to have you on the phone, and I thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, I was hoping to make it, but unfortunately the Connecticut hills kept me home.
Yeah, it's still a bear out there. You know, and interestingly enough, I mean, travel is a large part of what you do, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I like to go to the source. I've been to Barrow, Alaska with author Jean Craighead George, and out to the Tetons and Yellowstone National Park, and of course the Everglades of Florida, pretty much all over the country. I like to research firsthand and get the answers myself. When you're doing children's books, I think you owe it to a child to be as accurate as you possibly can with nonfiction material. And of course, the core reading program, which is really gearing up now, nonfiction is really coming back into the school system. So I'm very pleased about that, but also I think it only speaks to the importance of being accurate for children's books.
So you say that you go to look for the answers. So essentially, before you leave, what are the questions?
Well, I think it depends on the subject. If we're going to Barrow, Alaska, and doing a subject like the Inupiat culture and their heritage in whaling, then you talk to Eskimo sea captains and the villagers, and you get a sense of how they live, how they think, and what their traditions are. And you sort of assimilate that into your thinking. And you then really become almost personally familiar with a subject that you wouldn't ordinarily have any understanding of if you didn't go there.
When you go there, how much of it is what we think of, that many artists do, of sitting on the edge of the road looking over at the field, and how much of it is just the immersion of the place?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, if the environment allows me, I will do on-site sketching and painting. Obviously, photography is the quickest visual notebook for any painter or illustrator. I usually shoot, you know, thousands of images, and then I take notes and have conversations with people who know more about the subject than I do, and that therefore I'm constantly learning. And then I always double check with experts. I just recently finished a book, a picture book biography of Edward Hopper. And for example, I worked with Gail Levin, who is the noted historian on Hopper's life and wrote the most definitive biography of his life. And Gail was kind enough to vet the book and the visuals and sign off and say, I think you've done a good job.
Is it any small coincidence that your work has often been compared to that of Hopper?
Well, I think all artists have their influences, of course, and I have many, Norman Rockwell being one. But when I lived in New York City for 18 years in Greenwich Village, I lived in Hopper's old neighborhood, and I couldn't escape the imagery of Hopper every time I walked out my apartment door. Everywhere you turn, every time of day, there was a Hopper composition. And of course, he painted so many of his wonderful subjects in and around that area. So I think his sense of composition and light and design, and also the ability of the artist like Hopper to create a visual narrative that allows the viewer to interpret that particular painting in their own visual experience, in their own narrative.
I want to talk about we've been talking a little bit about the natural world, and I want to talk more about that in a moment. But before we do, so much of your work has to do with history. And to get that right, what is involved?
Well, one of my great friends and mentors is historian and author David McCullough.
Right.
And the one thing that David has taught me over the years is that you go, again, to the source. For an example, when David was working on Truman, right, he ran through the hallways of the Senate office building the way Truman did the morning the announcement of the fact that FDR had passed away, and Truman was called to come and assume the responsibilities of the office.
Which, by the way, I think singularly is one of the greatest pieces of nonfiction ever written.
It is.
Is his description.
David has this ability, I think, to make very human, very, very iconic historical figures. And he does it in a way that he always does his homework. He once told me that he had interviewed a Secret Service man about Mr. Truman, and he said, I forget the man's name, but he said, Mr. Smith, I'm sure you've been asked this question many, many times. And he said, Mr. McCullough, nobody's ever asked me any questions. So oftentimes the obvious is overlooked, and I think that's one of the big things about history is it's the little stories that make up the big picture. And so I feel that has helped me enormously in the kind of work I'm doing for children. And as a matter of fact, the reason I got so interested in doing history for children is because of David. He laments that we are raising a generation of historically illiterate children, and there's no reason that we can't overcome that with good material for them to read and enjoy and be inspired by.
You provided the cover for Truman.
Yeah.
For David McCullough's Truman. It is part of the exhibit. It is an amazing portrait because not only does it include the profile of the president, but also merges his Midwest roots and the farmland that he came from with a road leading directly to the White House.
Well, you know, David and I talked about that extensively when the book was still being worked on. And I came from the Midwest. I'm from Illinois originally, but I also worked in Kansas City for a few years. And I went to the Truman Library on many occasions. And, of course, in that library are the Thomas Hart Benn murals. And as you probably know, Benn is a wonderful regionalist,
right,
artist of that has that rural flavor. And Truman really was a man of our former agrarian culture and a man of the land, and so I wanted to impart that in the portrait, and so I really took my cues from Thomas Hart Benn and to try and give that portrait a regional, you know, very, very grounded look, and it worked out rather well, I have to say, even though it was the painting had to be done in about 4 days.
is it difficult for an artist, for an illustrator, to be under such a deadline, to work on that kind of deadline?
Yeah, I always joke about the fact that someday I'll say, you know, my gravestone will say, finally, no more deadlines.
Right.
You know, yes, we're always under a deadline, and publishing deadlines can be extended at times, but pretty much you have a fixed amount of time to do a project. So you really have to be quite efficient and get right to it, because procrastination is not your friend in the world of publishing deadlines.
What has it been like to put together an exhibit like this? What has your participation been?
Well, originally I worked with Stephanie Plunkett, who is the curator of this exhibition, and a number of fine people. Martin Mahoney was the installed the exhibition. But we all collectively got together and selected from about 500 pieces, about 150 pieces, which fill the three main galleries and a smaller gallery. It was an ongoing process. And of course, to really, for an artist to stop and look back is always difficult because you're always looking forward. And Norman Rockwell said, you know, it's always best to look forward. But there are times in your life where I think it's important, I think, to stop and take a look and see what you've done. And I think my first impression of walking into the exhibition with David, I gave him a premiere view before the opening. I was either overwhelmed by the amount of work that was there. You know, you realize, my golly, that's an awful lot of hours spent with a brush in your hand. But I think it's important to take stock of where you've been and then reassess what you've done and where you want to go. And it's always, people always say, well, what's your favorite painting, your favorite book? It's the next one, the one that hasn't been done yet.
I can't imagine what it is like for you to be in that center gallery where your work is and to look to the right and to the left and realize that it's hanging amongst some of the most iconic images of our time by Norman Rockwell.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember the last era of the Post magazine covers. And when I was a kid, I saw Rockwell's cover Breaking Home Ties, which was the farmer sitting on the running board of his Model A truck, and he's about to flag down the train for his son who's going off to college, and the son's all dressed neatly and getting ready to move on. And I thought to myself, you know, that in my childhood, I'm going to go away someday. I always admired Rockwell's ability to tell a story in a single image. And, of course, he's done it better than anybody. And I aspire to that. I think the visual narrative, what Hopper presents or what Rockwell presents or any number of other American regionalist or realist painters have done, is to tell America's story. And I've only tried to do that in my own humble way and follow the greats.
It is a gorgeous exhibit. It is on display through May 26th of 2014. It is Wendell Miner's America on display at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. You can find out more information about the exhibit and about this segment by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. A beautiful catalog as well as part of the exhibit, which is simply stunning. Wendell Miner, a great pleasure to have you with us. Congratulations on the exhibit and best wishes for a beautiful holiday season.
Well, thanks, Joe. The pleasure's all mine, and I hope everyone gets a chance to see the exhibition before the end of May next year.
Indeed. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.